the biggest and most expensive American cultural project since the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York, opens this month in Los Angeles. The Getty Museum and Cultural Center sits on a 110-acre hilltop overlooking the city. It was described in a front-page article of today's New York Times as a stupendous new castle of classical beauty, a mountaintop temple where art's future worships its past. My guest is the chief architect, Richard Meyer, who is considered today's preeminent museum builder in America and Europe. The new center is a complex that houses the Getty Museum, photographic collection, research library, and more. Meyer has designed outdoor bridges and balconies connecting the separate spaces. I told him I thought it would be nice to step outside and clear your eyes before going back inside to look at more art.
Well, it is nice. And in fact, the museum is designed in such a way that you go inside and outside and back inside. And that's part of the museum experience, so that you explore a small section of the museum's collection. You go out, look at the views, look at the gardens, sit by the fountains, and then go back in. It's not a hermetically sealed experience the way in which many museums are. And what fascinates me is the way in which people use the outside spaces in a way that's not possible in other parts of the country because of the weather. We have outdoor meeting rooms, outdoor conference areas, outdoor sitting spaces, outdoor congregation spaces, plazas and courtyards and fountains, which people will sit around and just enjoy the views, the vistas, and being there.
Now, part of the exterior is travertine, a stone that you got from Italy. In fact, you had 14,000 tons shipped from Italy. That must have been pretty frightening to order 14,000 tons of stone and then wait for it to arrive.
We didn't order 14,000 tons all at once.
Oh, good.
it was over a number of years. But in thinking about the materials for the Getty Center, from the very beginning, it seemed appropriate that at least part of the center be constructed of stone, a material that has a sense of permanence, solidity, that in some ways anchors the building to the ground. And in searching for the right stone, the appropriate stone for the Getty, we looked at just about every stone quarry throughout the world. One day someone came in and said, "What about travertine?" And I said, "What I'm really interested in is a much rougher stone than what one sees with travertine." And so they said, "Well, you know, what if we could make it rough the way you want it?" And I said, "Well, that'd be great." And so we worked with the quarries in Italy to invent, as it were, a process by which the travertine is cut, and it's as though the big block of stone goes on a conveyor belt and a guillotine comes and clefts the stone. It drops on the stone and the stone cracks, as it were, according to its natural fissures. And in this way, we get a very rough finish, and each piece of stone is unique because it of the way in which the cutting takes place. And it's very rough, and it catches the light, and it's fabulous.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Richard Meyer, the chief architect of the Getty Center, which opens in December. It opens to the public on December 16th. He's also written a book called Building the Getty. One of the things you are most famous for is your use of white exteriors, although you didn't use a white exterior at the Getty. So tell me first why you have so often used white exteriors in your buildings.
The whiteness of the surface seems to me to articulate most clearly the architectural ideas, the relationship between opacity and transparency, the relationship between open and closure, the relationship between linear elements and planar elements. But also the whiteness reflects all of the colors that exist in nature. It reflects the changing color of day. It reflects the changing color of the seasons. It reflects all the color that's around us every day. And in that way, it's full of color.
Now, you know, I was kind of brought up knowing that like a white rug and a white couch were really impractical because they would get schmutz all over them. And is it the same kind of problem with a building? If you have a white building in a smoggy city or any kind of urban environment, does it get dirty?
Well, I guess it depends on where it is. If it's in a schmutzy city, it's going to get dirty. But I think that most of the places which I've been able to build have a concern about the quality of air. And in Los Angeles or Atlanta, the quality of air is pretty good. And if you wash the building, when you wash the glass every now and then, it will stay clean.
Now, you didn't use a white exterior for the Getty.
That's right.
Why not?
Well, when I was selected as architect, it was written into law that the building couldn't be white. I didn't take that personally, of course.
But, oh, sure.
But it was felt that the whiteness of the building on the hill would be too glaring for some of the people.
Mm-hmm. Almost like a sun reflector.
That's right.
So I guess you got around that in part with the beige stone that you were using.
That's right.
So the beige stone
and the beige panels met all the requirements of the neighborhood groups who were very vocal in the whole process.
So the beige stone is light, but it's non-reflective.
That's right.
While you were building the Getty Center, you were living in New York, but you had to obviously be in Los Angeles a good deal of the time. So you ended up moving into a house that I believe was adjacent to the site of the center. I guess this was an already existing house, but you describe it as having been infested with rats.
Well, when I moved into the house, it was all painted black inside. Of course, that didn't suit me very well.
That's right, Mr. White exterior. That's great.
So the first thing I did was, of course, have the entire interior painted white and got rid of all of the curtains and draperies and opened the house up to the outside because it was such a great setting adjacent to the site where we're building. But I didn't renovate the house as such. It was really a cosmetic cleaning up that was done. And the previous owner who had lived there for perhaps 25 years had stuff all over. I mean, I've never seen a place more packed with electronic equipment and furniture and everything you can think of. But it was a house that was, how can I say, not terribly well tended over those 25 years. And in fact, there was a lot of animal life around. And there were snakes, there were coyotes, deer, and in fact, in the walls lived a number of family of rats.
How'd you deal with the rats?
Well, when I heard them crawling around at night, I would take a shoe and hit against the wall to try to get rid of them.
A little taste of Edgar Allan Poe in your home. Did you worry about getting bitten or anything?
No, I never saw one.
Oh, so just in the walls?
Yeah.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Richard Meyer. He's the chief architect of the new Getty Center in Los Angeles, which opens to the public on December 16th. He's also written a book about building the museum called Building the Getty. What were the buildings that you grew up around that made the biggest impression on you?
When I was very young, I lived in New Jersey, and I don't remember any works of architecture that were around the area where I grew up. I would see magazines, I read books, but it was all from things that I had read about that influenced me when I was very young.
So what you saw around you was suburban homes?
That's right.
shopping centers.
Yeah, usual kind of suburbia.
Right. I believe one of your early commissions was building a house for your parents. Was that fraught with a lot of anxiety?
Well, in the beginning it was, because I had just begun my practice as an architect. It was one of the very first things that I was asked to do. And it was very courageous of them to ask me to do it. They had lived in a three-story house and felt that as they were getting older, they wanted to live on what they thought was a ranch-type house, meaning one-story house, where they didn't have to walk up and down stairs. So they asked me to design a small house for them. I had the opportunity, while I was designing the house, to visit Falling Water, the great work by Frank Lloyd Wright in Bear Run, Pennsylvania. And this is the most magnificent house I've ever seen to this day. It's spectacular. And I thought, how can I do a house for my parents that ever can come close to this great work of Frank Lloyd Wright? But I was influenced by Frank Lloyd Wright and wanted to make spaces which move from the inside to the outside, that were, in his terms, part of an organic architecture that related man-made to the natural. And so I had brick walls which were in the living room that extended out into the garden past a glass wall. And the house was a wonderful house. They enjoyed it very much. Of course, my mother felt that there was too much art and not enough closets in terms of the design of the house. But other than that, you know, they really enjoyed it.
Richard Meyer, thank you so much for talking with us, and congratulations on the completion of the Getty.
Thank you very much.
Richard Meyer is the chief architect of the new Getty Center in Los Angeles. It opens to the public December 16th. His new book is called Building the Getty.